Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our two-part study of Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10 that we've titled, Weary in Well-Doing. This study is part of our verse-by-verse expository series of the Epistle of Paul to the Church in Galatia. You can find all of these messages at BBFOhio.com. And you can also hear them on our 24/7 internet radio station at bbfohioradio.com. And before going into our study, we want to share a portion of a letter that we received from a sister, Patricia, Pat, in Minnesota. And this is one of our letters we love. And she says, I've been meaning to write to you for quite some time. I've been watching your YouTube videos for at least 2 years. I wanted to tell you how much I enjoy and appreciate your teaching. I was looking for someone who uses the King James Version only, someone who's not afraid to preach the truth, who will tell it like it is, and yet, in all that seriousness, still find someone with a wonderful sense of humor, and I feel I found that in you. I will continue to pray for you, your ministry, your family, and your health. It's been my honor and pleasure to be able to contribute to your ministry through PayPal. Please know that you have been a great blessing to me. Your sister in Christ, Pat. And we want to say publicly thank you, Sister Pat, for your prayers and your support. And you just don't know how much these notes, letters, and emails that we get encourage us. These days are so dark, and so many messages we do get from people are attacks against us, and slanders, and that sort of thing. So it's very nice to get a letter like that from Sister Pat. And if you'd like to write to us, we certainly welcome your letters with questions, comments, prayer requests, any of those things. You can send your email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. And yes, there are three B's, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And that information is featured prominently on our website at bbfohio.com. So now let's begin our study of Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. This is a two-part study titled, Weary in Well-Doing. Right. Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse 9, we're titling this, Weary in Well-Doing. And we're going to read just those two verses, Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Read that with me. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I just have to ask this rhetorical question. How important is verse 9? Anybody who's spent any amount of time in ministry, active ministry, and I don't mean like as a pastor, I just mean ministry. You name the ministry. And let us not be weary in well-doing. We have to be reminded.
Amen.
For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Anyone here this morning ever get weary of well-doing? Being honest? Weary of well-doing?
Yeah.
Paul repeats this as a matter of fact, in his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, chapter 3, verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing.
Amen.
I think he repeats it because I think Paul had to fight this himself.
Yeah.
As you read through the Pauline epistles, are they inspired, God-breathed? Are they infallible? Yes. But God used the experiences and knowledge and the mind and the character and personality of Paul in those letters. And so, as we know, the Lord moved Paul and the words that he wrote were infallible, but it was also a little bit of storytelling going on in there about Paul's experiences. And you read some of the things he had to put up with.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the things he had to deal with. And I had a conversation last week with a pastor who, you know, called me up about a situation, and we were talking about it, and he said, "I got to be honest with you, I just about throw my hands up in the air."
Yeah.
And I was getting ready to quote this to him, and he quoted it himself. He says, "But the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing." He's quoting to himself. Hey, that's what you got to do.
Amen.
You got to know the book and realize you're human. You're going to have your moments where you get tired or you get weary of well-doing. You get spent. You get used and abused, chewed up and spit out. And it's only the Word of God itself that's really going to be your cure.
Amen.
Now, notice it didn't just say not to be weary. If you look, it says not to be weary in, read that,
well doing.
This isn't physical weariness. If you're just tired, that means you didn't get enough sleep last night, or maybe you've been sick. You know, go to bed a little earlier next time, you know? Or, you know, and of course, there's nothing like a liquid nap every once in a while, amen? Whatever it is, that's not the weariness we're talking about here. We're not just talking about the fact that you, some of you need to, you know, Jeannie will tell you, I pester her all the time about wanting more vegetables than I've been eating.
Amen.
And so I'm always like, you know, get some celery. Is the celery on sale? Isn't that, it just sounds weird coming out of my mouth. Celery. You know, what do you want at the store, Greg? I want to say black licorice, chocolate, and then I'm like, celery. It's just weird. Didn't sound natural, but and get that lettuce. You know that lettuce that, and kale. I like a little kale, you know.
Amen.
Like, and I do. I like, you know, I mean, I kill it with a little crouton, a little, you know, dressing, you know. But it don't let anybody fool you. It's still good for you, even when you kill it. But this is spiritual, emotional weariness we're talking about here. And some of you kids, you might say, well, I don't know what this is like. Well, just wait. It'll happen. You serve the Lord, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
I love this verse in Jeremiah 31:25. If you've read through the Bible, you've read it, but it may not have stood out to you. You may want to make a note of this verse. It's just, I love it. It says, "For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul."
Amen.
That does. It sounds similar, and it means the same thing as saturated. It's, don't you want to feel saturated in God's Spirit?
Amen.
And just replenished? And that only God can do that. I'm all for a good diet and getting your sleep and all that, you know. But when it comes to your soul, only Jesus is going to satisfy you. I used to sing a song like that, and I need to find it and do that again. I'll say, "Only Jesus will satisfy your soul, for only He can take your heart and make you whole. He'll give you things you never knew, sweet love and joy, and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul." Now, when I got that song, I needed it. How many have been there? It was a time where I was sharing this with somebody this week. When I got saved and started serving the Lord, I lost my friends. They didn't want to be around me because I wasn't doing the things that they were wanting to do that I didn't want to do anymore because I wanted to serve and please the Lord. They didn't want to talk about Jesus and the Bible. They didn't want to listen to better music. They didn't want to be around somebody like that. And then I was involved in ministry, and after a few months of it, it just seemed like it just grew stale. And what it was is I was looking for my satisfaction in those things. You don't find your satisfaction in ministry. You find your satisfaction in Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus, when He saturates you, it's with His Word. It's in His promises. And then that song just expresses that only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen.
So, you, on the other hand, wanting to be what you ought to be for other people, you got to mark down Isaiah 50, verse 4. It's a very important ministry of encouragement. And some of you, that may be brand new to you, but I want to say this too. There's these things where people take courses and they find out that they have the ministry of something, the ministry of helps and the ministry of this and that. And I believe that you may major in one of those ministries, but you are to minister in all of those things. And, you know, this one lady I knew did nothing else but walk around trying to be helpful to people because she had been told in one of these courses she had the ministry of helps. And so she didn't want to do anything else. And that's wrong. It's, I'm a teacher. I'm given the calling and gifts of teaching. That's not all I do. And that's just kind of where I excel. You may excel in something, but all of us should be in the ministry of encouragement.
Amen.
And Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned." Now, don't let that go to your head. That doesn't mean you're something. That means that God has infused or satiated you with His Word. If God uses you to speak, it's His Word that He uses, not yours. It's not your wonderful opinions. I've seen preachers, and they're always trying to come up with some fancy schmancy phrase that no one else has ever thought of so that they can feel like they're something, you know, and God has spoken through me. No, I know when God's spoken through me is when I'm speaking His Word. And He says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to," what? "Speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." That just means that you're listening for God's Word and you're learning God's Word, not just for me, 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 me. That's the favorite praise song of our generation. Me, 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 me. No, it's you learn the Word so that God can transform you so that He can use you.
Amen.
And the ministry of encouragement is one of those ways He'll use you. And if you're always looking for ways to encourage other people, you'll be less apt to be sitting there thinking, "Oh, woe is me." And that's the ministry most Christians have today. The woe is me ministry. Amen. That's what most... I get that way. We all get that way. And we have to be reminded, just stop thinking about yourself for a while, you know, praying for other people and looking for ways to help other people. Maybe be a little less self-focused and not be worried about me, me, me. And it's funny how when you get active for the Lord and serving others, the woes leave you. It's amazing. So first, let's identify a couple examples of well-doing. What do you mean by well-doing? Preaching the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." When you preach the gospel, that is well doing. Alright? Amen? Alright? You ever get weary of preaching the gospel? Now if you don't do it, don't say yes. Look all spiritual. Because that's dishonest.
Amen.
But if you do preach the gospel, you ever get tired of it?
Yeah.
"Oh no, not me. I'm too sanctified for that. I've never a day in my life felt weary of preaching the gospel." B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
Amen.
I mean, every man of God in the Bible did.
Amen.
Every man of God in the Bible showed he got weary of well-doing at times. And why? Because people say no.
Yeah. Right.
And in our day, it's worse than anywhere. People are always saying no. Why? Well, because they don't believe the Bible's from God, so whatever you tell them out of the Bible, don't believe. So until they come to a point where they'll believe the Bible, you're going to get a lot of no's.
Yeah.
Why? Because we're as it was in the days of no.
That's right.
Punny. Yeah. Hey, don't discount that. I'm telling you, it's the old, what do they call it, name association thing. As you go out preaching the gospel and people keep saying no, you remember you're in the days of no. What happened in the days of Noah? They said no. All of them except for his three sons, three daughters-in-law, and that woman that God had given him. Amen. Everybody else said no, 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 no. What does the Bible say to those of you today who are weary and well-doing? Read it. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Just right there in the middle, just notice that if you are not demanding payment in full right now, you'll be satisfied. Because you know payday's coming. In due season, you will reap. In God's timing. That's both in this life and the next, by the way. There's a time where you're going to see God being so good to you, and you're going to know you did not deserve it, and you're going to say, thank you, Lord. I know I don't deserve this, but I believe that in doing well, in well-doing, I'm reaping some of what I've sown. But that ain't nothing to what you're going to get when you're in His presence and in heaven for eternity.
Yes, sir. How long did Noah have to do that?
120 years. I should have said, I don't know. Tell me. Another example, giving to others. Now, if you don't give to others and you're just all about me, 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 then just, you know, take note, but don't say amen. Acts 20:35, we read this around Christmas time. Read it with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And Jesus said it. That settles it. Amen. Doesn't matter what your opinion is. Amen. If Jesus said it, that settles it. You ever seen these bumper stickers? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No, that's too many words. Whether you believe it or not, God said it. That settles it. Amen. Amen. You ever get weary of giving and giving and giving and giving?
Yep.
If not, try it. Start giving and see what happens, because people are ungrateful.
Yeah.
If you're giving so that you expect everybody to love you and say, you're just so wonderful, and they go around singing your praises, first of all, you've got the wrong motivation to begin with. Jesus said, you give without even announcing it, and you don't give to get credit right now. The Father that sees in secret all those things you've done in secret, He will reward you openly. And on the judgment day, judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be very thankful that you obeyed the words of Jesus Christ that we read in the book of Acts. But if you think that just give, 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 and that's why people do, a lot of people, that's why they give today. And if they don't know for sure that they're going to get some satisfaction out of it, they won't give. Political season, so I'll just use that as an example. Your favorite politician is being given millions of dollars. And those people giving them money expect something back. You want to know what your pet politician's going to do? Don't ask his opinion. See who's paying his bills.
Yeah. Amen.
Go look at the super PACs, as they call them. Who's paying Jeb Bush's super PAC money? You'll find out what you're going to get when he's elected. You look at Rubio, for example. Rubio is funded by a man named Singer, and Fox News is in his back pocket. Why? Because Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, and Singer, this guy named, I think it's Paul Singer's name, they're billionaires. They're funding him because they believe in open borders. And what happened when Rubio told his voters he was going to go to Washington and shut the border down and start obeying the Constitution? He didn't do it because It's not the boaters he's there to serve. It's his funders. And so if you want to know what a man's going to do when he's elected in politics, find out who's paying his bills. Same thing's true about preachers. You want to know why that preacher won't take a stand on this issue? Because if he does, it'll cost him his paycheck. It'll cost him his job. It'll cost him his benefits. It'll cost him his retirement.
The Almighty Dollar.
Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah. Amen.
You give because the Lord wants you to give, not so that the person you're giving to will be grateful and name their children after you. Amen?
Amen?
Otherwise, you're going to get weary in well-doing. And what does the Bible say about this? Read it. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So now, Greg, you're repeating yourself there. That's right, because that way it's going to get stuck in your head. You go home today from church and say, I not only learned something, I memorized a Bible verse. You'll be laying there in bed tonight sleeping and going, and let us not be weary in well doing. Jenny does that. Don't get mad at me. I'm just using it as an illustration. She's so funny. She was laughing the other day. And I said, she's dreaming about me. So here's the big question. You weary now? You're weary now? Imagine when they start fining you, putting you in jail, etc. See, that's why you tackle this thing now, because, folks, it ain't even getting rough yet. I want to show you a little example of a couple that I think are beautiful. They're over in England, and they're under attack by the government, which is controlled by the sodomites. And they're just like here in America, over, what is it, Idaho, where the bakery was shut down because they wouldn't make a cake for the sodomites. Similar situation, but this had to do with a law, and they were wanting them to write something on the cake or something.
We're looking forward to this opportunity to have our case heard by the Lord Chief Justice, because we believe the county court thought the original ruling wrong. And as I've said many times before, Ashers does not discriminate against anyone.
Ashers.
We took issue with the message on the cake and not the customer. And as a family, we believe we should retain the freedom to decline business that would force us to promote a cause with which we disagree.
Amen.
As Christians, we can't simply switch off our faith when we enter the workplace on a Monday morning. To be a Christian at all is to strive to live for Christ in every corner of our lives. And we served Mr. Lee as we would any other customer. We were simply unwilling to endorse this campaign for a new law that so clearly goes against what the Bible says about marriage. And for that, we've been punished. As Christians, we are law-abiding citizens, and we expect the law to protect us as much as anyone else. We hope the judicial system will now make the correct decision and protect our freedom to carry out our work without being forced to violate our consciences. As a family, we find the whole process very difficult. We would rather not be here today, but we knew we had the appeal not only for ourselves, but on behalf of other family businesses who could be forced to endorse or promote views with which they disagree. So today, we appeal to the Lord Chief Justice and his colleagues to overturn the county court ruling. We appeal to them to recognise that there's a big difference between refusing to serve someone because of their sexual orientation or political opinions and choosing not to endorse those ideas.
Amen.
And we would appeal to those who would condemn us for our actions to consider what they would have done if they were required by law to use their creative abilities to promote a cause which goes against their strongest convictions. And we also appeal to our fellow Christians to have courage, in the face of such challenges to our faith. And we thank them for their prayers and ask them to continue to pray during the hearing and for the judges considering this ruling. We know most people don't think we've done anything wrong, and we're grateful for the support of many people who, though they disagree with our view of marriage, they recognise that we should not be forced to deny our beliefs. Above all, we continue to trust in God. He's been faithful to us. We know He's in control, and His will be done in this case. Thank you.
Amen.
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 Amen. And, you know, you talk about getting weary and well-doing. You go into the courts.
Yeah.
And the money that it costs for the attorneys and all that. And, you know, if they were homosexuals and we walked in there and said, I want a cake that says homosexuality is a sin written on top of it, they'll say no to you and the government won't do a thing about it. Why? Because the government is controlled by sodomite money.
Yeah.
The sodomites don't have families to take care of, so they use their money to buy politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going on. God bless them. What about you? What about me? We've had a couple times where things kind of popped up and we thought we might be in that situation here. It was a person who rented a room here for an office who complained about us because of our beliefs and tried to get the board to get us to kick us out of here a few years ago. And thankfully, the fellow who is head of the board, and I'm not naming names or anything like that, but the man who's head of the board, he said, well, you know, their religious beliefs are none of our business unless they're, you know, a cult that they're going to drink Kool-Aid and kill everybody. And she says, well, I think they're anti-government. They're almost like a militia church or something. I'm like, where did she get that idea? No, she didn't listen to me teach. I said, somebody says, can I ask you a question? He said, do you believe in the overthrow of the U.S. government? I said, no, I'm trying to promote the restoration of the Constitution and U.S. government under the Constitution. He said, so you support the Constitution? I said, I'm a constitutional conservative. That's what I call. I don't call myself a Republican. I don't call myself a Democrat. I don't even call myself an independent. I'm a constitutional Republican. And he said, that's all I need to know. That's the end of that. So thank God for it.
Amen.
But what if we're in a situation where, you know, they come in here and say, you know what, you preach against the sin of Sodom. They wouldn't say that. They'd say, you preach against the gay people, you haters. You bunch of haters. That's how they talk. Well, what would we do? I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to stop preaching the truth. So if they kick us out of here, I guess we'll go put up a tent somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you would show up?
Amen.
We'll see. Amen. Really? You raise your hand when it's not 10 below and we're in a tent with the, you know, industry heaters and everybody shivering and drinking their hot chocolate and, or hot tea. So, it's something to pray about, ain't it? These people are losing their business and their livelihood for well-doing. They're just doing what's right. That's all you got to do what's right. There's schools trying to force the kids to repeat the statement of Islam that
for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.